Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's word, which we receive joyfully this morning, is from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, in order that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus, which is to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So far, the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. In our sermon text, Paul talks about the righteousness of God, which he describes in detail for us as the righteousness which did belong to God, but which is the free gift that God gives to us through faith in Jesus Christ and by his blood, so that we, having been forgiven of our sins through Christ, may freely enter into heaven, even though we ourselves are sinners. But Paul talks about this righteousness of God being revealed. So one has to wonder, why was it hidden? And who hid it? And how was it then revealed? Scripture shows us that God himself indeed covered or veiled the glory of God in the Old Testament, which we're going to talk about more in a little bit, but that it was never God's intention to hide that gospel message, but rather man in his sinfulness attempts to cover Christ in darkness, and it is God who by his power makes certain that that glory of God, that righteousness of God, through faith is revealed so that we may be saved and come to heaven. This is not the first time, even in the book of Romans, that Paul talks about the righteousness of God being revealed. He uses the same language earlier on in chapter 1, verse 17, where we read, "In it," that is in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." There is, however, a difference between the word that Paul uses in Romans 3 in our text and the word that Paul uses back here in Romans 1:17. In Romans 1:17, Paul uses the Greek word apokalupto, which is then translated reveal, but which means to unveil or uncover. And so you think of all those times and movies and other places where you see some work of art or some statue that's covered by a cloth, and then the cloth is torn off and the painting is revealed. And so Paul says Christ was veiled, he was covered, and then at the coming of Christ, this glory of God, this righteousness of God was revealed. Now this might make us think of the temple of the Old Testament, and you know how the curtain was there between the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat of God, the presence of God, the glory of God. The curtain was there between God and the people. And the writer to Hebrews reminds us that in Christ that curtain is, that veil is, taken away. So the glory of God is now revealed. You also think of Moses, who went up the mountain and talked to God and stood face to face with God. And when he came down from the mountain, the glory of God was reflected in his face. And that glory, that face, was covered with a veil so that the people would not see as that glory of God slowly faded from Moses' face. And so we see in the Old Testament, not only in these examples, but throughout the ceremonial law, that God did indeed veil the glory of God in the Old Testament and even veiled the righteousness of God through Christ. But he did not do this to hide the gospel or to hide the glory of God. Rather, he did it in order to draw attention to Christ and to the glory of God. Even as Paul himself says in our text, the righteousness of God apart from the law is witnessed by the law and the prophets. God's covering of that gospel, God's covering of that glory of God, was in order to draw attention to it. Just as you may have noticed the baptismal font when you walked in this morning. And when you saw the white cloth covering the baptismal font, I don't think anyone said to themselves, well, I wonder what happened to the baptismal font. What did you, God, pastor, do with it? The cloth does not hide the baptismal font in the sense of you don't know where it is. It's pretty obvious what's under that cloth. Even if you didn't remember that the baptismal font was sitting there, it's pretty obvious what was under the cloth. But the cloth maybe might have drawn your attention to it. You're like, I've never seen the baptismal font covered. I wonder why pastor did that. And now you're finding out why pastor did it to make a point. You probably guessed it was a point for the sermon. Well, there you go. There it is. In the same way, God veiled the righteousness that is ours in Christ in the Old Testament in order to draw attention to him. From the very beginning of Scripture, God made it very clear what was under that veil. He said right away to Adam and Eve that he would send the seed of the woman who would crush the head of Satan and set his people free from sin. And so we have the veil in the temple, and we have the pilgrimages to Jerusalem, and we have the Sabbaths and the Passovers and the sacrifices and the cities of refuge and all the Old Testament ceremonial laws, which was a veil drawing people's attention to Christ, causing them to look forward to Christ. And we even see how well it worked, because we read over and over again in the Old Testament about men of faith who eagerly desired and looked forward to the day of the coming one. They looked forward to the day when that veil would be taken away. Not because they didn't know what was under it, although they didn't maybe know all the details, but they knew what was under it. And they desired greatly to see the Christ that they knew was coming. Peter declares the same in his epistle, 1 Peter 1:10. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And so the very prophets who prophesied of Christ searched and meditated upon the words that, the very words they prophesied, the words that God had given to them, desiring to see the coming of the Christ. And so, yes, God veiled his glory, and even the righteousness of God that is ours in Christ, he veiled it in the Old Testament in order to draw attention to it and point forward people to the coming of Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 1:17, that now that veil is removed. And the righteousness of God and the glory of his gospel, the free gift that God gives to you through Jesus Christ, is revealed clearly through Jesus Christ. But now we come to Romans 3:21. We come to our text. And once again, Paul uses that term reveal. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. But this time he doesn't use the word apokalupto, to uncover, to unveil. Instead, he uses the Greek term phanero. And that word means to bring to light or to make known that which was in darkness. And so it has a picture not of the temple and not of Moses, but it has that picture of God bringing out of the darkness, shining a light upon the cross of Christ. This reminds us of 2 Corinthians 4:6. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It also reminds us of John, the Gospel, John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So yes, God himself veiled the gospel in the Old Testament in order to draw people's attention to it. But now Paul reminds us that men, in their wickedness and in their sinfulness, continually attempt to hide in darkness the glory of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, and attempt to hide in darkness that free gift that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. And what's worse, not only do we ourselves in our sinfulness attempt to hide the glory of Christ, but we often even use God's law, the very law that ought to lead us to Christ, we use God's law to do it. Some of you may have experienced when you give a small child a gift, you may experience that sometimes a child takes the wrapping off and opens the box and takes the gift out and sets the gift aside and plays with the wrapping and the box instead of playing with the gift. And that's what Paul is describing here, that the Jews did. He says, here it is that God has given you this gift and he has unveiled it. He has taken the wrapping off and displayed the gift of Christ. And you, instead of rejoicing in this gift, have held on to the wrapping, the ceremonial law. And that's what the Jews cared about. Burying Christ in their own darkness. But of course, they're not the only ones, are they? This happened at the time of Paul, that the Jews attempt to hide the glory of Christ, to hide the glory of that righteousness of God through their own desire to do their own works. But it happened again at the time of Luther, at the time of the Reformation. That's what we're celebrating today. Not the fact that the glory of Christ was hidden, but the fact that God removed that darkness and once again shone the light on that glory of Christ. And so you think of the time of the Reformation, and at that time they had the image of Christ. They had the crucifix in almost every church, and they wore it around their necks. They had the image of Christ in pewter around their necks, but more importantly, they had the image of Christ that is displayed clearly for us in the gospel. And yet they didn't look at that gift and rejoice in that free forgiveness, did they? But instead they were taught by the church to look at their own works and to leave Christ in darkness. And once again, the light of the glory of the righteousness of Christ, which is given to us as a free gift, was hidden. Not behind a veil, as God did in the Old Testament, but behind the darkness of man's pride in himself and his own works. But Paul reminds us in our text that both at his time, and then we see later on, also during the time of the Reformation, God would not allow it to remain hidden. The righteousness of Christ has been revealed. And we heard this in our reading from Revelation as well, that God has set that angel in the heavens, the angel holding the everlasting gospel, in order to make certain that this is proclaimed unto the ends of the earth, so that you may hear the wonderful and joyful news that you have been saved through Christ Jesus. That righteousness which is obtained not by our works, but is freely given to us because Jesus has died for our sins. And yet, once again, it happens that now in our time, as in the time of Paul, as in the time of Reformation, indeed at all times, man attempts once again to hide in sinfulness. Man attempts to once again hide that glory of Christ and that free gift of righteousness and of forgiveness of sins that is ours through Jesus Christ. And we could point to many examples in our own day. We could point to the examples of the Amish, the Mennonites, who care more about avoiding the technologies of this world, and they lose their focus on Christ, and so they bury Christ in darkness. Or we could point to the Baptists, who so often, some of them anyway, care more about politics and what's going on in this world instead of looking forward to the life to come. And once again, Christ is buried behind their desire to do good and have justice in this world. Or we could talk about the liberals who talk so much about love but don't understand or know the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins because they refuse to acknowledge the truth that all men are sinners and forgiven through Jesus Christ. All of these people use God's own law, or rather their interpretation of it, and through their use of that law and through their desire to look good themselves, they bury and hide in darkness that free gift of Christ. Now, we could talk about them, and we just did a little bit. We could talk about them and examples like that even more. But Paul reminds us in our text of something we need to remember, something very important. All have sinned. And yeah, others do it, but that we have a tendency to bury and to hide, to set aside, to forget about this wonderful gift that God has given to us. There is no difference. There is no difference between us and the Amish and the Catholic, not with regard to the law anyway. We have all sinned before God. It's important to warn ourselves and warn others against false doctrine. We need to do that. But when we start to pat ourselves on the back and praise ourselves for not being like them, then we're doing the same thing, aren't we? We're forgetting that we are sinners forgiven by Christ Jesus, and we're starting to think of ourselves as better because of our works or because of our church or because of who we are. And in so doing, we're burying the glory of the resurrection of Christ. We hide from ourselves in darkness. We hide the glory of Christ when we tell ourselves how much better we are than others. Or when we start to think to ourselves that, well, my political views are the only right ones, and anyone who doesn't vote the way I think they should can't really even be called a Christian, because obviously if you're a real Christian, you would vote my way. Or when we start thinking, well, I know that Jesus died for me. I need to hear other things. I need to hear more practical things. I need to hear about the things that really matter in this life. And once again, we're setting aside, we're hiding, at least partially, that free gift of Christ because of our desire for the things of this world. Or when we come to church and we hear the law preached, and our response to the preaching of the law is, you go get them, pastor. Notice, go get them. They need to hear that. Instead of hearing the law preached and thinking, I need to hear that. And repenting of our sins and trusting in Christ. And yet, despite our best efforts, and this is the promise that God gives to us in our sermon text, despite our best efforts, despite our sinfulness, despite the darkness of our own hearts, God has revealed the righteousness of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus, and he will continue to reveal it through his word. The Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the Lord who caused the light to shine out of darkness, has shown the light of his grace and of his gospel in our hearts, so that that same angel who said to the shepherds also says to you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Today, just as in the day of Paul, just as in the day of Luther, today also the light of God has burst forth in the darkness in order to make known that through Christ Jesus, without any work or effort on your part, you have received the righteousness of God. And through his sacrifice, you have been forgiven and have been given promise to enter into heaven and the glories that will follow. You are made righteous and your sins are forgiven. This is the righteousness of God that Paul is talking about and that God has revealed to you and to all of us in our sinfulness. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.